Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that I direct your attention to this morning is from our first scripture lesson from Acts 4. We read once again verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So far the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, that precious, sweet name, God's grace, His peace to you, dear friends in Christ. A name is a powerful thing, isn't it? I think it was about a little over 15 years ago when 8 Associations for Lutherans and Lutheran Brotherhood merged into one fraternal company. They spent lots of time, money, and energy in trying to develop a name that would grab people's attention, and they came up with a Thrivent. Whatever you think about that name, they went to great lengths to come up with that name. You know, companies that sell name brand products can charge more money just because they're name brand. And all of you who are taking prescription drugs know the difference in cost between a name brand and a generic. When my wife and I were selecting a name for the last child the Lord blessed us with, child number 6, we couldn't agree on a name. We'd used up the names that we agreed on. So we were debating back and forth, what will we name this child? And I liked Amanda, she liked Ashley, and you can guess what happened after that. So she said she woke in the night before she was going to be discharged, and she had a dream, and she said, let's hyphenate it. Let's call her Amanda Ashley. So that's what we did. And then we threw in a couple extra family names, Emily Blay. So it was Amanda Ashley Emily Blay Johnson. And she didn't like us when she had to write her name in first grade. But names are important. God gave the second commandment, in fact, to protect His divine name. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And He gave us the 8th commandment to protect your good name and the good name of your neighbor. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. But there's no name that is more important, more essential, more meaningful than that the name Peter refers us to here in this text. And that's that beautiful name, Jesus. As Peter stands before the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, they've put him on trial. He proclaims there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name where we can find salvation. There is no other way to truly know God and to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. There is no other way to heaven other than that saving name of Jesus. Today, we live in a society and really our culture that so much stresses tolerance and diversity that people are tempted to think that all religions are basically the same. We all worship the same God. We just call Him by another name, whether it's Allah or the Supreme Being or the Ultimate Mover. But Peter says no to any of that kind of thinking. There is no other name whereby we must be saved other than that sweet name of Jesus. His name is absolutely indispensable. Is that the way sometimes that we come across using His name in our lives? We probably can all think of times where we have misused that precious name. We've cursed by that name. We've sworn by that name in anger. And we certainly have misused that precious name. Do we find ourselves neglecting that name and all the blessings that God gives us? Certainly that's what Satan would want in our life. So how do we use that precious name in our life? In this text, we clearly see that there is help, there's healing, there's salvation in the name of Jesus. The day before this, Peter and John had gone up to the temple to pray. They were going up the steps to the temple, and there was a beggar, a crippled beggar, begging for money. And remember what Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." Peter took his hand, lifted him up. And this crippled man who had not walked for years and years began not only walking, but we're told he went walking and leaping and praising God. And I think of a song, a Sunday school song, walking and leaping and praising God. And immediately he realized that this wonderful miracle had happened, but the temple guard came and they arrested Peter and John. because of that. We were told they had been preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. And the next day when Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish court, the authorities challenged them with this question: by what power or by what name did you do this? And Peter boldly proclaimed, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is great blessing in that name also for you and for me. It was that name that healed this crippled man, but that name is important also in our lives. Remember, it's really it's a divine name given by God himself, wasn't it? The angel Gabriel announced to Mary, "Call his name Jesus. He's going to be the Savior." And to make doubly sure, an angel of the Lord in a dream told Joseph, "Call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." No chance on a disagreement of names between Mary and Joseph. It came right from heaven. "Call his name Jesus. He will be the Savior." And Jesus lived up to his name. I don't know how many of you know the meaning of your name or why you received the name from your parents, but a lot of times the meanings of our names don't really maybe fit us in terms of our personality or what we accomplish in life, but Jesus' name fit to a T. He did that work as Savior. He did live that perfect life as our substitute. He did keep the Ten Commandments. He honored God's name perfectly. He didn't bear false witness against his neighbor. He did that for you and for me. Every time that you or I are tempted to doubt God's love for you, remember your baptism, because your name was united with the name of Jesus in your baptism. You were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all the saving work of Jesus was applied to you, and he washes you daily of all your sin. You have a new life in him. When you come to the Lord's table this morning, remember the forgiveness of sins that he's won for you, and that he applies to your life very personally as you receive the body and blood of your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. Every time you hear me as your pastor speak by the authority of Christ, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, "I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," those sins are forgiven because of God's promise. You really receive what God promises you, the forgiveness of sins, of life, and salvation. Just for a moment, can you imagine what life might have been like for this crippled beggar in our text if Peter and John had somehow been able to perform some kind of surgery to make this man walk? But no, they did it in the name of Jesus, and this man received more than physical healing. He received Jesus' saving power in his life. Several years ago, I received a call from one of our members. She's now in heaven, Charlotte Wassman. She wasn't with us too long. She came from Michigan, and she was living in the Pines, and I did a Bible study every Friday in the Pines. And we've had different folks from the Pines join us on occasion. And one day she calls me and says, "Pastor, I think you should visit Alice. She was at her Bible study, but I'm not sure she's a Christian. I don't know if she knows Jesus." So I went to Alice at Martin Luther Manor, when also Myrtle Hill was there, one of our members, and I went right to the point. I said, I just sat down with Alice, and I shared with her from the Scripture. I said, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then I turned to Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." And I simply said, "Alice, do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes." Simple as that. Straightforward confession. "Yes, I believe it." And so I could go back and assure Charlotte that Alice knew the saving name of Jesus, that Alice was a child of God, that she had saving faith in that precious name. How tragic it would have been for this lame man if he ended up not knowing Jesus, or for Alice if she hadn't known the saving love of Christ. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh does not want us to take comfort in that precious name. A number of years ago, quite a few years ago actually now, my wife had the opportunity to travel to Russia. And she was in Moscow, looking at some things in Moscow, and she was on a very crowded subway train, and there was a young boy pushing an old man in a wheelchair into this crowded subway car. And as people were distracted by the man in the wheelchair, the little boy was going around picking pockets in the crowd. You know, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to be distracted from looking at Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and he wants to pick your faith. He wants to destroy your faith. Peter changed really from a fearful disciple. You know, he was one of those hiding behind the locked doors with the rest of them. And he boldly confesses the name of Jesus. It is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The Holy Spirit emboldened Peter to make that great confession. Not only do we confess the name of Jesus, but we can build our lives on that name. Peter says in this text, Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, but which has become the cornerstone. The most important stone in a building holds everything together. And we build our lives on that name of Jesus Christ. Paul says in another place, there is no other foundation that anyone can lay but that which is already laid, Jesus Christ. Build your life on that saving name. He is your cornerstone, your rock, your solid foundation. Today we remember he is your good shepherd, as we heard the beautiful Psalm 23, who leads you and guides you. There is no other name. Remember when you were baptized, obviously you don't remember it personally, but the pastor asked your parents, what is this child to be named? And your parent, your guardian, whoever was bringing you to baptism said your full given name, your baptismal name. And in that name, you were united with the saving name of Jesus. May that always give you joy and peace. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.